La. Recording started.
Hello.
So looks like everybody's good to go.
Hi, this is Arielle Hyatt from Cyber PR, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
I've been selling my name for the sake of who knows. I've been trying to explain how it's all gonna go. I don't take my life for granted. I've been waking up tight day after day. Hope is taking its time to go my way. But I don't take my life for granted. I'm gonna hold on tight to what I've been handed. Oh. I'll try not to complain about the things I have lost. 'Cause when you have something great, that just means there's a greater loss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Licensed to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Crystal Connor's The Darkness, the first book in the Spectrum trilogy. The other two books in the trilogy are Artificial Light and In the Valley of Shadows. Crystal also has a couple of books in the Foothills of Mont Inferol, The Guardians of Man, and The End Is Now. And these are co-written by Connor Titus. This is a little bit older book. It is copyrighted 2010, but Crystal wanted us to start off with this trilogy because she really likes it. But this one is, within the shadows of darkness, two women clash in a vicious battle that has been fought since the days of King Solomon, the fight over a child. One woman unleashes the nightmarish arsenal of modern science, while the other dispatches the hellish weaponries of witchcraft. The rope in this deadly game of tug-of-war is Adam. In the grips of one woman, Adam inherits the genes of genetic engineering, and in the clutches of the other, Adam learns to use his gift through the craft that has been passed down from mother to daughter for eons. But as Adam grows up, his love for one and resentment for the other will change the fate of both women forever. Overall thoughts, I know Logan, this is one that he did not read. This is one that Jonathan and I picked up and read, since we're doing the new style of just basically two people reading it, unless we have time for three of us to read it. But this is one, probably the main characters, the two women, we already know Adam is the child. They mentioned him. The scientific or alchemist person is Artemisia. And then the, I guess you would say, witchcraft or supernatural abilities.
Witch.
That is Inanna. Vivi. And so,
Inanna Vivi.
So that's, and that kind of has a little bit of reference to some of her background in the story. But with Artemidas, that's her name, right?
Artemisia,
right?
I think it's Artemidas.
I thought you said Artemisia just too.
I might have mispronounced it.
Yeah, Artemisia is the name too.
But she's, like I said, she's one that is part of this Skyward group that is, as a front, is a jewelry operation for the ultra rich. I mean, she's driving around in this thousands
nice car,
or if not million dollar cars, and buying these thousands of dollar champagne and all
like,
this stuff.
There was a $250,000 bottle of cognac mentioned in the book, and I'm just like,
so it's the rich and famous, as the old show used to say.
Like, that's got to be a nice bottle of cognac right
true.
There.
Definitely. You better have a buzz for sure after you drink it.
I'd probably be knocked out.
But this, like I said, it is a front for laboratories that are underground, basically beneath the jewelry stores.
Yeah.
And they are a research facility that study the development and manipulation and regeneration of the embryonic stem cells. And 80% of their work is classified secret and is for the military.
Right.
Doesn't really say what military, just military application. So,
well, see, the way that I got it, Adam was first in a different laboratory than what they moved him to.
Well, he wasn't moved. He was taken.
He was taken, yeah.
And what Jonathan's talking about is the Alpha Omega Foundation, which is the rivals to the Skyward Group. They had Adam to begin with.
And then he killed one of the scientists.
Right, and then all of a sudden, all the stuff crashes down, and a SEAL team comes in. The paramilitary team comes in and
they whisk him away. They whisk him away, and he's like comforted in whoever takes him. Yep. And
he's never been that way before. He's always been isolated.
He's always been isolated.
Sterile type cell.
And you know the way that he killed the scientist was because he wanted his teddy bear, and the scientist would not give him that dang bear. So he
when
was
you're
like
messing with very powerful people, at least don't go out of your way to piss them off.
Right.
Really?
They
didn't really know he was powerful.
No.
Okay, that's at least a bit more.
He was starting to develop them.
He started telekinesis
basically. Mm-hmm.
And like he was a baby and he wanted his teddy bear.
So he had a fit on the scientist.
And the scientist would not give him his teddy bear, so he pretty much made the scientist bash his head open.
Yep.
Well,
but then, like I said, the military team takes them to the Skywarp group, and they kind of study him the same way, and they call him the Genesis Project, and they give him the name of Adam.
Adam, yeah. It was...
Because it's Genesis, Adam,
Liz Ernesto. Who?
I'm not sure what his name is, but that sounds right.
Yeah, I think it was Ernesto who gave him the name Adam. And they're over here going, why'd you give him the name Adam? Adam. And he said, it just makes sense, you know, from the Genesis Project. And
Adam so, is in Genesis in the book about it. So,
book if we Genesis, had a few girls, we'd be calling them Lilith or Eve.
Possible.
If it was, yeah, that's true. If it was a girl, probably. Yeah.
But they study him as well, but they treat him as a little kid.
Yeah, as a little kid. You know,
and they show him affection and stuff for the most part. It's still a little hands-off, but some affection.
Yeah. They're at least not alienating their future super weapon.
And see, when it goes to hell is when Artemisia says, I'm taking him home with me.
Yeah.
And Dr. Aster is like, nope.
Can't do that. Not
happening.
Breaks protocol. You can't take him out of the facility. And the question is, and they never really answered this unless you found the answer, was she kind of brainwashed by him?
Ooh. I don't think so. I think that she actually really did fall in love with him. I think that the minute that he called her mom was the minute that she fell in love with him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he really brainwashed her.
It was the aw moment.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because at times I felt like he kind of did, because he kind of worked his way around the other people too. Because
Ernesto
kind of latched onto him.
Yeah,
the other scientists didn't. If they didn't spend that much time.
Well, I mean, but even when when he was kidnapped by the other doctor, Dr. Cassidy. Mm-hmm. You know, when they thought that he got eaten by the mountain lion, Dr. Aster was crying. So I think that Dr. Aster also
wanted him dead to begin with.
He didn't.
Though.
He did, but I think at the end, because even during the book, when he said he killed my boyfriend, I still love him though.
Yeah,
he killed my boyfriend.
And, what he's talking about is Adam went into a lab chasing a ball and was kind of curious or a toy or something. He got in there and wanted to see what the other scientist was doing. And he was trying to kind of say, no, we can't do that. Then he kind of had another little fit episode.
Yeah. Well, and see, the thing is, he destroyed
the lab and the scientist in there. And Cassidy was, I don't remember, was he a husband or lover? I can't remember.
Who?
Cassidy, was he the husband of the scientist or just the lover? I can't remember.
The scientist who died?
Yeah. Because him and Cassidy were a team. Were a
were
couple.
They? Well, I don't think so, because
that's what I got. Okay.
The scientist who died was a father. He was a priest.
I guess I didn't get that. Okay. I must have missed that entirely. Sorry, Crystal. I must have been half asleep when I read that part.
they said that in the book because they started calling him father, and he was actually a priest.
Boy, I don't know. I just don't remember that at all.
But what it was he had gone into the sick room where they had all the contagious
bioweapons.
Yeah, where they had all the contagious stuff, and they locked him in the room, and he wanted to get out of the room.
Yep, that's true. I remember now. That's right. He chased the toy in there. Go ahead, Logan.
Okay. It was almost something like you were talking about two different incidents.
Yeah, that was my fault. I'm kind of merging some stuff together. So like I said, I read them first, pass them on to the next person. Sometimes my memory gets a little hazy, but I remember enough to have a discussion and say, okay,
yeah,
I missed that one. The flip side of this is after Cassidy takes him, he gives him to
his cousin.
His cousin to say, take him out, take care of him. He's supposed to kill
and
him.
And his cousin doesn't end up killing him, which upsets his partners.
Right. That's why I think and Adam has a little bit of control over the mind, too, because he kind of talked him into not killing him.
I don't.
At least influence, maybe.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I think he has some type of influence.
I didn't see it that way because.
Because it's like he was ready to kill him. Then on the car ride out, he kind of changed his mind.
Well, from the very beginning, he was like, I'm not killing a kid.
Yeah. But he was paid.
But he was paid. But from the very beginning, he said, I'm not killing a kid.
Oh, that's something. If we can ever talk to Crystal, we might have to ask her. Does he have tendencies?
Yeah, because I want to ask her. I don't know if she had made a mistake or if I misread it or whatnot. Because when he first went with Inanna, he was hiding under the bed, and Inanna was trying to get him out of the bed or from out.
Oh, Inanna found him on the road.
No, she found him on the road, but when she first took him in, he was hiding under the bed because he was scared of everything.
Because everything to him turned on him.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Inanna, when she tried to get out of the bed, they always said that there was a tiny little protector there protecting him, and they said that the little protector hissed. So I'm wondering, because Artemisia had given Adam a kitten at the very beginning.
Oh, kitten
hiss. Yeah.
I don't know.
But like when they kidnapped Adam, did they take the kitten with him, or did they leave the kitten? Because it just doesn't make sense that a little tiny protector would be under the bed with Adam.
I don't know. Look what Inanna is.
Yeah.
If she would have assigned a protector to him.
And possibly when teleportation. Teleportation of the cat to him.
Telekinesis, yeah.
Yeah.
Not teleportation per se, but just dragging it through there. No, stop. No, you're pulling me. Meow, meow, meow.
But, the reason why I'm asking is because they never mentioned the cat again. So
that's why I think it might have been something that Inanna might have put on him. And we're talking a little bit ahead, but because Adam got away. Mm. And Inanna found him on the road and took him home.
And see, Inanna
and started raising him as her child.
Is rich, too.
Right, but she got a different means. Her backstory is the witch. She grew up in West Africa. Let's see, her father was West African and was a shaman known as the Dark One. So that's kind of cool. Her mother was a Haitian voodoo priestess. And at 3, she became her mother's pupil. And then at 11, she became so great. Her mother wasn't wanting to teach her the darker arts, and Inanna was like, nah, it's coming my way. So she just summoned him on her own at the age of 11 and started learning dark arts through whatever means, demons or whatever they might be called. She took the name Inanna because that's the last thing her mother said as she passed away and was taken. And it says Inanna, she was like an all-consuming force of attraction. She was also rage, strength, and raw power when she was kind of taken. And a boat captain, steamer captain or something, took her in, raised her, and she became the adopted daughter of a servant.
Right.
And the cook in the house was named Merdrin. What's that sound like?
Merlin.
One of its versions.
Yeah.
And raises her and teaches her
Witchcraft or
wizardry. So there's where you have the technology alchemist type stuff with Artemisia and the supernatural
element with Inanna. Yeah.
So this is what I really liked, and I don't know if she's going to explore this in the next two books. But the last part I wrote down when I was looking at this, it says in one section, because I wrote it down because I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. The gods of antiquity are the angels that lost the war waged in heaven. So like Zeus, Apollo, all of them are the angels from heaven. They lost the war. And they gave us math, astronomy, language, you know, all that stuff that's in myth. And they were out in the open until the sun came, which means the son of Christ. And now they are still here. They're just in the shadows, kind of manipulating and taking their time to try to come back out. So I thought that was a cool aspect. And I'm like, you know, if she takes this, it could either be a different series entirely, or she's going to expand upon it within the trilogy.
Or, so I kind of thought that was cool. Yeah, that difference, because that is fairly interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Gods were the fallen angels, and after Christ came, they just kind of... Anyway. There's another one that has the gods of antiquity and all that just being archangels and all that under different names.
With I don't know that
God
one.
Being the one. Oh, Young Wizards series.
Okay.
I cannot remember the actual author's
name. Are you talking about...
Okay.
Young Wizards.
Not Witch and Wizard?
No. Hmm. Young Wizards. Hmm. It's older than Witch and Wizard.
Okay, I haven't read that one then.
I read it in middle school. I'm pretty sure Witch and Wizards came out when I was in high school.
I believe so, yeah. But to me, the storyline kind of jumped back and forth.
Yeah.
And some of this we can't talk about because we'll give too much of the story away, but Adam's age goes back and forth in the story as well, depending on who they're concentrating on. If they're concentrating on Artemisia, it's primarily the younger stage, and then later into the older stage.
Yeah.
But with Inanna, it's more centered, it's briefly about the young age, but more centered on the older age.
See, there's a couple questions.
And it kind of goes back and forth.
So you're going back and forth through time, or his age is weird?
No, his age isn't weird.
Okay, so it's...
She's kind of juxtaposing.
Yeah,
it's one kind chapters, of like Artemisia, one chapter
is Inanna. Huh. And it's kind of like in each chapter, it's like on a TV show, it's like a backflash.
Yeah, in a sense,
To explain the story more, what's going on. This is what happened. This is how it happened. This is why it happened.
So you're kind of jumping around the timeline a little bit in this story.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, so the readers are going to have to pay close attention. And I know I had to get used to that because there were times, because they mixed the timeline. Crystal mixed the timelines up a little bit too, because there are times when Adam's young, Adam's old, and even Artemisia's story, they're kind of mixed. So it's kind of like, once you get the hang of it, you got it.
Right.
And it's written, I think, easy enough.
To where you can understand what's going on. It's cohesive.
I think after a couple of chapters... Maybe four. That gives you two of each character, basically. It gels.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall, what did you think about it?
Well, there are a couple questions that if we get to talk to Crystal, I'd like to ask her.
Get rid of Crystal.
Because there was one thing that I was significantly curious about, I can't really talk about it because...
Yeah, she's kind of, if we can get her on, I think we're kind of want to save some of this stuff for the readers to go back and read the book first. That way there's not spoilers.
Right.
At this, even though it's from 2010.
Yeah.
We're just looking at it. You can still go back and pick up the series off of Amazon either through Kindle. Excuse me. You can go back to Amazon and pick it up either through Kindle or trade paperback, so you can still pick it up and her other books that she's done and short stories. But I don't know if you can say what the question is without giving too much away. I don't know.
It was about that whole ceremony thing in the end of the book. So probably not.
Okay. So that might be something we can ask her if she feels like she can work us into her schedule. Hopefully she'll come on and visit with us about this. To me...
Or maybe you can read the second book, too.
Well, I enjoyed it enough that I'll pick up the rest of the trilogy and read it.
Yeah.
Trilogy. Can't talk. But one of the things that is... I don't know if she's actually... I'm sure she has. She's probably picked up the book and flipped through it. But also one thing of note for the readers, this is a publishing error. And I don't know if it's in every book, but in the copies that we received, like the first seven chapter headings, are all the chapters are in Roman numeral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're usually, you know, at the top of the page, and then there's usually a blank spot, and then the text starts in the chapter. About the first seven chapter numbers, because of a printing error, are at the bottom of the page of the previous chapter. And there's nothing at the top, and it goes right into
the story.
Yeah. So at first, that kind of jostled me a little bit, but then I was like, I know what's going on. So just to let readers know that's just a printing error that occurred when it was being published. And usually when you're a small independent author like this,
right,
you can't afford to go back and republish.
No.
because of a small error. But after the first seven chapters, it corrects itself and goes on. So I don't know what happened with those first few chapters at the publishers, but I'm sure she was kind of cringing when she saw that. I was like, oh, I can't go back and change it. But overall, I thought it was a easy enough story to get into.
Yeah.
It was written really well, I thought. Interesting. Kept you moving forward.
And, you know, I actually kind of liked how she was mixing, like, cultures, different, you know, different views. Like, Dr. Astor, he had his boyfriend.
Right.
You know, to begin with, I think that Artemisia and Dr. Cassidy were lovers.
Huh. They were at one point, I believe. I kind of got that feeling, too.
Because I read somewhere in there that they had some kind of relationship. So, like, when they were discussing what they were going to do with Dr. Cassidy, you know, Artemisia was like, I don't know if I want this to happen, but Dr. Astor was like, it's going to happen. Here's the orders.
And she was trying to...
Artemisia wasn't top boss. She was just one of many.
Yeah, she was a fairly high up.
She was fairly high up.
One of few, but yeah, well, she did have that few.
Right.
She was like... kind of like a regional boss, maybe.
Yeah. The best way to explain it to you, Logan, is, you know, your dad is the boss here at the library, but he still has to answer
to a board.
That's so she's the boss, but she still has to answer to a board.
Well, I was thinking council of other bosses, but yeah, pretty much, yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's another name for a board, council of other bosses. That works too.
True, but I don't think you gather everybody from around the state to do the board meeting thing.
Just here locally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one. I don't think I can go into any more without giving too much away. So we might pause it there. Unless you want. You got anything else to go
into? Anything else that doesn't go into spoiler territory? Uh-uh. It goes into spoiler territory. So. Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think that's about all we can say without going too far.
Yeah.
We're going to jump into our tweets and messages that we've gotten for this last time around.
Sweet tweets.
We want to start out with Citybird Publicity. They sent us a thank you to the Comic Pop Library's webpage for the Blonde Ambition love. So we want to thank you for that. The Blonde Ambition is an individual, and they did the single Good News, and we just had fun with that. And also Publicity Please PR, they want to thank us as well for featuring Upright Man single from their Upright Man EP. That's kind of fun to say.
Upright Man Cubed.
Yes. And then we had another one. Let me see. We had another musician, Jamil Kasim. We did his single Rise Now remix, and he just wanted to thank us very much for doing that for him. And then also Suzanne Lambden. She was on a month or so back, and I know this is getting out later than when she was actually on, but she visited with us and wanted to thank us and say that we rocked it out. She goes, you guys rock. Well, yes, we thank you, Suzanne. So do you. And she says, love these guys, and we love her back. So she's one of the fun friends that we've met through the podcast. And she, of course, is the author of the Dead Heart series and the new Seeker of Magic series. But then also of note, the website Listen Notes is another podcatcher type site which catches podcasts for people to try out and listen to, and they have recently added us to their feed. So that is very much appreciated to Listen Notes for doing that for us, and that's at listennotes.com. So that's very cool of them to add the Comic Pop Library to their feed. Getting back to The Darkness by Crystal Connor. Like I said, this is book one of a trilogy. And we're going to try to get her on. She is out of Seattle. She does do quite a bit of conventions. So depending on what her schedule is able to work out. But she has shown interest of possibly getting on with us whenever her schedule permits. So hopefully that will be soon. And if, like I said, you can go to her Amazon page and buy her books there. Either Kindle editions or a print edition. She does have a blog spot. It's called Wordsmith Crystal Connor, all one word, lowercase, .blogspot.com. And then she also has on Facebook Notes from the Author. So if you look that up or look up Crystal Connor Wordsmith, that will also get you to that page as well. And these links will be on the show notes. So if you didn't have time to write them down or don't want to go back and write them down, just go back to our page and we'll have links to both of those, her blog spot and Facebook page that you can follow her on. For this one, this is, like I said, it's easy enough to read, but again, it's one of those, she does have an artist for this book that's the cover artist, and it's kind of minimalistic.
Mm.
It's more of almost like a drawing.
Yeah.
So this might be one that you might have to steer some people towards. And right. So give it a try. It's kind of a modern fantasy.
And it's one of those diamonds in a rough. You know, it's one of those treasure finds, the best way to explain it.
Right. And this one was a finalist for the International Book Awards. So, you know, she does have some good writing in here. And she got some good ideas. And it flows really well. But it is a minimalistic cover. If you looked at it, some people might pass it by. You know, a lot of covers, they tend to try to do some action on it or bright colors to draw your attention. Yeah. But like I said, this is almost like a pencil drawing.
Yeah,
it's a great drawing.
Yeah, I do have to say no. That's a fairly
detailed one by what I can think. Because original Artemis Fowl covers, yeah, that basically just had the color and a bit of, I think.
But it was the color that attracted people's attention.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of that stuff works.
There's a lot of times where, you know, you see a flashy cover, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a great book. You pick it up, you start reading
it. It's not.
It's crap.
Yep. True. True that.
So, you know, with the minimalistic books, or like, if the book just has like one color cover,
right.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Pretty much. Give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, the artwork on it's great. I love the artwork. It's just that it is like a drawing, so you might have to steer some people to it in your libraries. If you're listening to this for your private collection, if you're into modern-day wizardry, witchcraft type stuff, I think you would enjoy this book. She kind of leaves off with a little bit with Adam that we can't go into, so it's like, what's going to happen here? So she kind of leaves off on a cliffhanger.
There's also a warning, per se, like, in front of the, like, you know, like, in the TV. These characters are not real. These spells are not real. Do not attempt to do these spells.
Yeah.
So
I was going to see if I could find that real fast. I don't know if I can or not.
I think it's in the... It should be right there.
Oh, here it is. I'll just read it from the book because it was like, oh, wow, okay. So this is interesting. So here it is. I have removed essential steps and crucial ingredients from the spells and rituals performed in this story. This is not a textbook. The darkness was written for entertainment purposes only. Do not, under any circumstances, attempt to cast spells or reenact ceremonies performed by these fictional characters. So that was a little bit of a, like Jonathan said, a warning in front. So
it was kind of like research. A TV show, like
almost.
It's like
the intro.
It was like the.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, it was like the entry to like Jack or whatever. Like, don't try this at home. Don't be a dumb.
Bleep 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 bleep. But yeah, this is one that does come with a warning. So she's done her research, and evidently these rituals are part of that world, so she's changed them to so you can't do anything that might be harmful. And she's saying, I did change them, so if you did try them, you could even be probably more harmful, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll probably either be a dud or very, very much worse. So yeah. I warned you, you have only yourself to blame.
There you go. But this is one I think medium sized libraries and larger sized libraries, the public medium. They could pick this series up, give it to your readers that like the modern day fantasy. I think they'll eat it up with, they'll love it. I enjoyed it. I say fantasy, but it's more like a...
I don't know. It's
supernatural.
It's supernatural slash it's sci-fi. I got kind of
with the telekinesis.
With the whole laboratory thing and you know, true. I kind of got supernatural sci-fi.
Yeah. So what transpires in the next two novels, I'm not sure. So that might be something that Crystal might go into a little bit more detail with us. But that's going to do it for us for this time around. We've had fun discussing Crystal Connors, The Darkness, book one of the Spectrum Trilogy. Mm-hmm. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.